Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Will, and glad to have you aboard with us here, 9 a.m. Central Time on Friday, February 18th, 2005, our last hour of the program, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and you're spending it here with us. We appreciate it. Our guest today, Martin Zender, author of 4 incredible books. Now, I would recommend you read all of these, and I recommend you read them in the order that he wrote them, simply because it really worked out well for me. Everything seemed to make a logical progression from point A to point B, C, and D, I guess is the case would be. First one, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, then Martin Zender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer, then Martin Zender Goes to Hell, and then Martin Zender, it's called Flawed by Design on the last one. So really just fantastic stuff. He's got a new book that will be coming out a little bit later on. There's really no point in talking about it because it's not available yet for you to pick up. And
about sex.
Yeah, it's about sex, though. And Martin, let me tell you, buddy, welcome back.
Thank you.
Your latest book is the greatest book written in my lifetime. I stand by that. Your book solves every relationship issue, every sociological issue, every psychological issue, every gender issue between men and women. Involving sex, involving spirituality, involving everything in those categories. It's just astounding how solid this book is.
No wonder I was so tired after I finished it.
It's a lot of weight to be carrying around, man.
Oh, man. How do I do it? Going back to what we were talking about right before the break, people think I'm a genius. Martin's a genius. How does he know these Hebrew words? Gehenna, Hades, Tartarus. Man, I could never attain to his level of scholarship. Well, folks, if I went to Athens, tried to speak Greek, they'd stone me. I don't know the Hebrew and Greek language fluently. I don't speak it, but I have access to tools that are available at your Christian bookstore, even Barnes & Noble or Walden Books. I got a book called Young's Analytical Concordance. There's another one called Strong's Analytical Concordance. Book weighs 20 pounds. If you drop it on your foot, it's going to hurt. It costs about $20. It's a great reference to what it is. If you're using your King James Version, you look at the word hell in the King James Version. Then you go to the Concordance, look up hell. They're listed alphabetically, just like in any other dictionary, and you will see the 3 different Greek words. The Concordance is an honest rendering, unlike the translators who decide, well, we feel like translating Hades, hell. Here's Gehenna. I will translate that hell too. What the hell? Here's Tartarus. We'll translate that hell. What kind of distinct? They're throwing away God's distinctions. This book exposes the crime for all to see. You look up hell, and then listed under hell, you see Gehenna, Hades, Tartarus. Holy smokes! Jesus didn't say hell every time. And when you find out what these things mean, Gehenna was a valley outside of Jerusalem. Hades is merely the grave. Tartarus is a place where sinning angels are kept. Where's the eternal fire? I don't see it. That's just strange. And it opens it up for you. I just know how to research, and anybody can do it. My 12-year-old son can do it. And so you don't have to be a genius. I mean, it's nice looking like one, but I can't let people think that forever. It's good for my ego for about 5 minutes. Then I got to blow the whistle on myself. I know how to research, and I go and I buy the book for $20, and you're on your way. The tools are available, folks. You have to use them.
That's excellent, excellent advice. Now let's go back to the phones here.
Yes, Les. I want to get all these people on.
Okay, Jim in Texas, welcome to the show.
Morning. God bless to both of you.
And to you.
Concordant New Literal Translation, concordant.org.
Concordant.org, I think. Concordant Literal New Testament. Although I think we make them available on my website at martinzender.com. Or my publisher's website, StarkHartman.com. Stark with an E, Hartman with 2 N's. It's a great translation.
Yeah, you can actually check it out on concordant.org. They've got the HTML. Sorry to
find out. Oh, wonderful. Right.
Very, very good. Concordant.org. Thank you.
Hang on a second, guys. Jim in Texas and Martin Zender, our guest today. We'll get to all these phone calls, I promise you. Stay with us, and we'll be right back with more Frankly Speaking Radio after this.
Thank you.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you aboard here on this fine Friday morning. Martin Zender shaking the foundations of our beliefs, as he always does, and God bless him for it. Because I tell you what, if they hold up to the shaking, you know you got a pretty good structure to stand on. I think that's a good place to do, is shake things up every now and then. Our guest, Martin Zender, thanks for being here, buddy.
Frank, I want to tell you something. The last hour of this show, it is a privilege to be able to be on this show. It's an honor to be given the time to speak. It is a privilege to be able to pass on the truths of God that can change people's lives. I mean, I'm just really feel humbled and awed and thankful today to be able to be part of God's dissemination of truth, to bring the gospel of grace to people, and that you're a vital part of the process, Frank. And I'm just very thankful, and I'm very humbled, and I'm honored to be doing this at this hour today.
Well, thanks. I mean, I don't take compliments well. In fact, I don't take them at all. But what I will say is that you are a great representation of you know, what God wants out of people, and you show that every time, and your willingness to come on the air and basically say, look, I'm the Band-Aid ripper offer, and people tend to wince whenever they hear me coming around because they know that some Band-Aids are going to get tore off. But you keep doing it, man. You're a true champion for God, and I know that the listeners will feel the same way. And I'll tell you what, man, the show would not be anything. It wouldn't be effective. It wouldn't mean anything if we didn't get phone calls in. So I want to go ahead and jump back into the phones because, again, I'm uncomfortable with compliments. But, Martin Zender, you are the man, buddy.
Let me say one thing before we go to the next call.
All right. Say something.
I'm going to show you how simple this is. I'm going to do this quickly. We got to get to the phones. On page 67 of my book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, here's how simple this is, folks. You can look this up for yourself. In 2 Peter 2:4, where the King James has hell, the NIV has hell, it's the word Tartarus. You can look that up. It's the word Tartarus. King James has hell, NIV has hell, Concordant has Tartarus, a Concordant literal New Testament. That makes sense, doesn't it? In Matthew 5:22, the Greek word is Gehenna. The KJV translates it hell. The NIV, New International Version, translates it hell. The Concordant literal New Testament has Gehenna. How much sense does that make? This isn't rocket science. In Luke 16:23, the Greek word is Hades. KJV has hell. NIV has hell. Concordant literal New Testament has unseen, because that's what Hades means. That's what I'm talking about. It's right there.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. This ain't rocket science. Yeah.
All right. Jim in Texas, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me back.
And, anytime.
I had two questions for you, really. Have either of you ever studied any of George Gordon material on hell and the Bible and Revelations?
Frank?
I have no idea who that is.
I'm not sure either. I don't think I have.
I called into Eric Shun and told him to get a hold of George Gordon. Who George Gordon is, in a nutshell, he's a plumber by trade. He can teach you plumbing. He has a George Gordon School of Law, which he can also teach you the Mosaic Law. But he's one of the most thorough researchers of the Bible that I've ever seen. He can tell you of the 133 law categories which God gave you and the 759 statutes under there. And I mean, he knows the Bible like nobody I know. But what he spoke of, what I wanted to ask is, have you discerned from the Bible the 64 things leading up to Revelations that can harm or kill you?
Harm or kill irrevocably?
No, on the earth. There's 64 items on the earth that are going to befall all human beings at the end times.
Okay, no, not familiar with those 64 things. I didn't know there was only 64.
There's 64 things. This is at the end times.
Okay.
That are specifically going to come from God.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're not right with God, are either going to maim, kill, torture, you know. And since you're not familiar with it, I won't go on with that next question. And the other question I had was, if there were ways in the Bible that it tells you to get right with God, would you want to be one of that 10%? Because it speaks in the Bible of a tithe that he's going to keep alive, which is 10%, which is exactly what the New World Order, they're going to kill off 90% of the population. So he's using man to unfold his plan. which we know he does, mm-hmm. would you want to be one of those 10% living, or would you want to be one of the 90% dying?
Well, the answer to your question was, of course, I want to be one of the ones living. But I'll say this concerning the, quote, happy news of Revelation. Revelation is a downer, but it has to happen. We know these things are going to occur. The mistake people make is because this is the last book in the Bible, they think that this is the last thing God's going to do, that this is how it's going to end. These are the end times. Well, people call this the end times, but I'm not sure the Bible ever calls these the end times. Maybe the times of the end. But end times is misleading because it makes you think that this is the end of God's program. Revelation, the things that are going to happen, all those bad things you're talking about, and really, you sound maybe like you might be depressed over it yourself. I'm not sure if I'm reading right. But if we dwell
on... just a mellow dude.
Okay, you're a mellow dude?
Yeah,
all right, well,
mellow.
Maybe this will perk you up a little bit.
The truth has set me free. Let's
mellow can be mellow can be good, but I know people who dwell in Revelations, and they're just caught up in all the end times thing, and all the conspiracies and the evil that's going to happen, and these things that are going to overtake the earth. And yes, a lot of it is true. Whatever Scripture says is going to happen is going to happen, but God said at the beginning of the Revelation, these things are going to happen swiftly, and it's only going to be a short period of time, and it's going to prepare the earth for the thousand-year kingdom of Christ. That is not all God's going to do. That is not the end of it. Paul, even though he writes in 1 Corinthians 15, it's not the last book chronologically in the Scripture, but Paul goes beyond Revelation in scope. He goes to a time called the consummation, when God will have brought up all things together under Christ. Revelation is a blink of an eye in God's program. It's a hard blink. It's a tough blink. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed, weeping, gnashing of teeth, and tears. Okay, what's next? You know, people get upset at me when I, what do you mean, what's Martin? We got to dwell here. We got to talk about Revelation and the blood and the goo. I say, okay, what comes after that? Well, you're not giving this its due. I do, but it's a blink of an eye in God's program.
He's and not going to reveal that till that's over either.
And yes, you're right. It has to happen. I think that's what you're saying, that even the parts, the good parts that God has in mind after that aren't going to happen until this takes place. It's like a convulsion, isn't it? It's like a woman who is in labor, and she's under great pain, and she thinks, oh, my God, it's never going to end. I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. Then the baby comes forth, and it's like, what pain? What pain? I didn't go through any pain. And so this is exactly what we're going to find when we look back with hindsight at the era that we're now looking, quote, forward to, these terrible things that are coming on the earth. It's like going to be like a dream in the night.
Well, it's no different than it was for Noah in the Great Flood. He knew there was going to be a flood. He didn't know what was going to happen afterward. He had no clue.
That's right. That's our advantage. You're right. We have an advantage over Noah. We do know what's going to happen. We do know what's going to happen. There's going to be 1,000 years of peace on this earth. And then after that, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where God himself is going to dwell with mankind. And then after that, everyone who is in the lake of fire, death is going to be abolished. Lake of fire is the second death. That's going to be abolished. And all are going to come forth and be saved by virtue of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, that's good news. That's beyond Revelation. And so I always like to keep our focus going forward. What's God doing next? And the main mistake people make with judgment, with the book of Revelation, of the 64 ways you can die, is they stop there. This is the end of God's plan. This is his goal, and it certainly is not their means to a goal. And I'm always looking forward to the goal. So,
well, the 64 ways aren't all in Revelations. They're spoke of clear back in Leviticus and Numbers, and it's prophesized about what's going to happen.
Well, I don't doubt it.
So he's not dwelling on Revelations. But if you get a chance, just go to George Gordon's website and check out some of his stuff. He can teach you the laws of man, and he can teach you a lot you don't know about God.
All right.
So he may become a resource for you. I don't know.
Well, I'll check that out. And I appreciate the call.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Take care. God bless you too, buddy.
Thanks for the Concordant website.
Yeah, excellent point. I didn't even know there was one out there. Rodney in Texas, welcome to the show.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, Rodney.
Hey, Martin. How you feeling? How you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling pretty feisty, Rodney.
Man, you feel, well, pass it on then, brother.
I'm trying.
Well, you know, my batteries are about to run down on my telephone, so I'm going to limit my questions to just one or two.
Okay.
First of all, I remember a quote from Gandhi. You know who Gandhi was?
Yes.
Where he said, you know, I love Christianity, but I hate Christians.
Mm.
And I kind of sense some of the same things, you know, in your discussion this morning. Because so much of Christianity, it's not, you know, Christians don't follow the way that Jesus laid down for us. They don't follow his footsteps. And this is one of the reasons why we have the conditions in this world that we have. And in fact, Gandhi said if Christians just took Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, chapter 5, chapter 6, and verse 7, and just applied all of those principles just in those three chapters alone.
The Sermon on the Mount,
The Sermon on the Mount. This whole world would be a complete, it would be a completely different environment. Do you agree with that, Martin?
Yes, but I don't think we're able to do that until Christ brings his people to their place. Going to have to get to that after a break, but
yeah,
that was
Ronnie,
a good point.
Yeah, it's an excellent thing. I'll let Martin respond. If you want to hang on, feel free to do so. And then, of course, we'll get to all the rest of these calls and spend some time talking about some of these books. We'll be right back with our guest today, Martin Zender, and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Frank Will. I'm glad to have you aboard here on this fine Friday morning. Our guest today, a great, great author, and like I said, he presents it in just such a way. His books are filled with wit, and they're filled with thought-provoking questions and analyses. It's truly an honor to know him and to have him here with us once again. Martin Zender, welcome back to the show.
Hi, everybody.
Rodney, if he's still there, let's put Rodney back on so we can finish up here before his phone dies.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let me finish up real quick. Now, just before the break, Martin, I think I heard you say that you didn't think it was possible for any of us to follow the things, some of the things that that Jesus spoke of in the Sermon on the Mountain there. Now, let me ask you the question here.
Uh-huh.
You said you didn't think that would be possible. My question to you is, why would Jesus tell us not to lie, not to murder, not to commit fornication and adultery if he didn't think that people would be able to follow these sort of things?
Well, that's a good question. He told his disciples one time, you know, if a man even looks at a woman with lust, he's committed adultery with that woman in his heart, and his apostles were astounded. Well, who can be saved, they said. And he said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Jesus laid out a course that was humanly impossible to follow. And then your question comes, and it's a good question in light of what I just said. And why in the world did he say these things if nobody can do it? Because we assume that these exhortations in Scripture are a way for us to show God what we can do. Not so. Jesus was not trying to give his apostles or us an opportunity to impress him by doing his commandments. Rather, these commandments give God, now listen to this is important, they give God an opportunity to show what he can do through us. There's a big difference between those two things.
That's astounding.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of it that way.
I never thought of it that way either, but I guess I'm a little bit confused here, Martin.
Okay, go ahead.
And none of the apostles, none of the disciples were ever faithful. None of them were able to follow any of the commandments laid out by Jesus.
Well, let's look at it this way. Look at Peter. How many of them were faithful when Jesus went to the cross? Here's men who for 3 years heard the words that we would, imagine being in his presence, being in Jesus' presence, hearing these things for the first time, feeling that spiritual flow coming from him, and yet they all fled at his cross. They couldn't even stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter denies him three times. How could that possibly be? Jesus' words are true. With man, this is impossible. And he has to show you first that you're going to fail. He has to show you first. And then you realize when it does happen, I'm not saying it can't happen. Apart from God, it can't happen. When it does happen, as Frank alluded to earlier, you realize that it's not me, it was God that did that.
Mm-hmm.
And this incredible moral utopia that Jesus is delving into on the Mount in Matthew 5, the whole nation Israel is going to be living this way in the thousand-year kingdom. He came proclaiming the kingdom. This is the way it's going to be in the kingdom, and he's laying out the ideal. In a measure, yes, we can meet some of these things. If somebody hits me on the right cheek, I can turn my left cheek. Not by nature, but by reason of God whose grace dwells in me. But to do these other things consistently is, I will say, it's well nigh impossible for humans this side of resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make a good point. I would love to have you come back and have this discussion again on Frank's show. Is that going to be possible, Frank?
Oh, Frank, God, yeah. I told you I'd have Zender on all the time. It's
because
just
this is my first time ever calling in and talking with you, and you've given me some food for thought. And in fact, I'm going to research a couple of the points that you talked about this morning, and when you do come back, I'll have them written down so that we can bring this up again.
I'll tell you what, Rodney, I'll do you one better. Martin mentioned that he would try to send me a couple of books, and I'll see if I can't get you one of those, okay?
Great.
All right.
Rodney, I'm going to get you all four of them. I'm going to send Frank my How to Quit Church book and all the ones you just heard, and Frank is going to send those to you, compliments of me. So enjoy them.
Martin, excuse me? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, the fruitages of the Spirit in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
With the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verses, I think it's 19 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
He discusses love, joy, and peace. And later in that same chapter and verse, he says, against these things there's no law. Against these things there is no law. Once again, I'm going to ask in parting here, do you think that Paul or Jesus would make statements like that and tell their apostles, their disciples, to follow these things, set these standards so high that they didn't think that these people would be able to follow them?
Okay, we got a break. Rodney, I'll let you listen to his answer off air. And Martin, stay with us. Folks, we'll be right back.
Thanks.
Only 30 minutes and counting, folks. If you got questions, get them in now. Martin Zender, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Running out of time here. 25 minutes and counting. Loaded up phone lines, of course, because of our guest today, Martin Zender. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks, Frank. Don't fear the reaper.
Amen.
That's a great song. We're
going to
fly.
It. It sure does.
That's very good.
Well, that's what we're talking about here today is the truth. And I said it before, Martin. I always say it. I said it yesterday. In fact, the scariest part of anything, be it a movie or a book, is what your imagination does with it. But when you turn around and you look it in the face, it's not so scary anymore. And that's what the truth does. The truth does set you free because it grants you a little bit of understanding. It grants you a little more discernment. It puts you a little closer to where you need to be.
Just like the Wizard of Oz. I'm the great and powerful Oz. You get behind the curtain, there's a little old guy working the control. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Spinning wheels and
spinning
pressing
wheels,
pedals.
And it's just up front, and it's spooky and scary, and they got you convinced that God's a big monster waiting to... And you look behind, you see the machinery, the bad translation. You see the pastors and the priests who are trying to put this across to scare people in the church. And you pull the curtain, and you see, holy cow, this is false machinery. There's human evil behind this, and God is good.
Amen. Amen. We have, like I said, fully loaded phone lines here, but... I wanted to see, did you want to respond to that last
real
comment,
quick.
Roddy? Because it sounded to me like he asked the same question twice.
Yeah,
but go
he
ahead.
Kind of asked the same question.
Yeah,
real
I thought
quick.
So.
Yeah, here it is in a nutshell. You cannot force true morality. You cannot force it. You can go on a self-help program. You can starve yourself. You can beat yourself. You can do all kinds of, you're not going to do it. And Rodney brought up the good passage with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Yeah, these are fruits of the Spirit. And so it's going to be a spirit of love, a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace, a spirit of patience. See? See how that works? And against these things, there is no law. In other words, there is no law that's going to make you do these things, but the Spirit will cause you to do it because of its benevolent effect on you.
Outstanding. All right.
And now through the phones.
Let's do it. Jennifer, California, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm 26. I was raised in church. When I was 13, I became a teenager, of course, and didn't really have an interest for it. But at 18, through life trials and tribulations, I received faith and learned that I... you know, had believed because I was taught, but I had the experience and it was all put into a new light.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, surely have never felt that I needed a priest to talk to my God. But I didn't really feel that church was, you know, absolutely necessary because it repeatedly says that God knows our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need, you know, I can't think of the word, but I didn't need to go to church to...
You didn't need a middleman for faith.
Yeah.
I hear you, girl.
But at the same time, Jesus spoke of fellowship oftentimes. And being out of, you know, a church does make it difficult to meet other people.
No, it doesn't.
I think she's right. I think
she's wrong. I think it could make it more difficult. It's not difficult. What do you think we're doing right now? You just called in. You're talking to two people right here.
Yeah, she probably had to wait an
listen.
Hour. She had to wait an hour.
Yeah, I know she had to wait an hour, but that's not the point. The point is, though, is that it may be more difficult because there isn't a giant signpost, a big neon billboard pointing, you know, fellowship here. But at the same time, because there isn't that giant signboard and neon arrow pointing down saying fellowship here, it makes it a little harder for the deceivers to get there.
You know, this is a good point, though, that Jennifer brings up, because we do need fellowship. And for the last 3 hours, I've spoken against the institution and the organized religion, but never against fellowship. And Jesus had the same question asked him. Remember the woman at the well? She came up to him and said, she didn't know who he was at the time, but she said, you teach that our fathers worshiped in this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You, Jesus, teach that they were to go to Jerusalem. Worship. Where do we go to worship? And this is the big question people are still asking 2,000 years later. Where do we go to worship? And Jesus says very critical words, very important words that we need to take note of. He said, the day is coming, and now is, when you will neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father, but we worship the Father now in spirit and in truth. And so the challenge is to find other people in whom dwells this spirit and this truth. And that is a challenge. It's not that such people are not around. It's just that God tends to scatter his flock.
Yeah.
You know, as you found, as I found, I have to drive 60 miles to go to a Bible study. You know, so it does take a little extra work. But as Frank said, it's not impossible. It's a challenge, but it's not impossible. Can I give you a quick clue here?
Sure.
On my website, there's a feature called Readers Unite. Those who like what I'm saying, who say, yeah, this makes sense to me, Grace, yeah, I've never heard this, this is fantastic, you can put your name into Readers Unite, and it's a very loose thing where perhaps there are other people in your area who feel the same call, who feel, yeah, I think God's operating outside of the institution. So it might be somebody living three blocks from you, Jennifer, who also is believing these things. So look up that feature on the website. Who knows?
I will do that. That's a good suggestion.
All right.
And, yeah, and I think that if it's still there, there's probably a chat room there and on our website, I think, where you can do something like that. There are the forums at the RBN website. You know, there's a lot of different options out there. I know there's chat rooms all over the Internet, and I know that sometimes, for the most part, that's kind of sketchy. But, you know, I, through the course of doing this show, I met a lot of great people. They don't live right next door to me, but they're close enough, and sometimes just a phone call away. And with me moving all over the country for the majority of my lifetime, I know people everywhere, and it's not that hard. And I'll tell you what, I've always been of the mindset that I like chatting with people who have my best interests at heart, people I already know, and so on and so forth. And it's not impossible, Jennifer. It is a little more difficult, but through that process, through it being more difficult, I think it's also a heck of a lot more rewarding.
But, you know, Frank, there's some things that a phone call just can't do. And I know what Jennifer's saying. You need flesh and blood. You want to look people in the eye and hug them, and you want that fellowship. And that's really why most people go to church. I mean, they don't agree with a lot of what the pastor's saying. I don't know how many times I've heard this, but they're there for the camaraderie. They're there for the fellowship. And they look the other way at the doctrine or the policies, and they put up with a heck of a lot just to touch somebody with flesh and blood. And that's important. So hopefully, you know, there we can find some believers in your area that you can fellowship with. It is important.
Fair enough.
I don't disparage it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, I think it's kind of the times, too.
Yeah.
Being human, we feel strength in numbers.
Yeah, definitely.
I think sometimes.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we're up against something big, which is going to be a blink of an eye to, you know, God.
Yeah.
But it may, you know, still however
sure.
long it
yeah.
will be to
sure.
me. And I don't know. I guess I hope, you know, God's children come together.
Just remember, when you look at strength in numbers, be careful there, because the biblical precedent, and with the biblical precedent, the majority is always wrong. It's that way in every instance in the scriptures. It's still that way now. It's a
yeah.
small flock right now. It won't always be that way, Jennifer,
mm-hmm.
but it is that way now. And so if a million people are believing it, chances are it's wrong.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a million, but,
it's
like
yeah.
Jesus, you know, said, if any two people agree upon one thing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it shall be done.
Well, the other thing, too, is that we have to understand there's a difference between safety and numbers, you know, and I just show safety as the word to use, but I know it's not exactly what you said,
yes.
but there's a difference between safety and numbers and feeling not alone. And that's one of the things I've talked about on the show before, is that what we do is we interact with each other. All of us could sit out there and just, you know, hide under our bed with the Bible in one hand and the flashlight in the other, the radio on the other side of the room with just some madman from Arkansas screaming through the speaker, and we're all separated. Everybody might be listening, but I'm not talking to you, I'm not hearing from you, and you're not talking to me and hearing from me. So it's just a type of isolation. We live in a society where you can do every single thing you could possibly need to do for your own personal survival and never have to leave the house. You can order your groceries to be delivered. You can pay all your bills online. You can jump on the computer. You can jump on the phone. There's no reason for you to ever have to leave the house these days.
I would die.
I would, too. But, I mean, you could work from home. You could do – there are ways where you would never have to leave. And that's because society wants to isolate us, just like all the powers that be. When they're coming down on you, they want to angle you into a corner and say, I got you, and you're all alone in this fight, so just submit. Just give up, roll over and take it, sign this here, give up this right, agree to this settlement, whatever the case may be, whatever situation you might be in. They want you to feel alone and isolated. And what we can do with this program and with other outlets is make people realize that they're not alone, that there are other people out there, and that, yeah, you know, once you realize you're not alone, the fear starts to dissipate. It's kind of like, you know, as we talked about the fear angle, how many times were we growing up and we'd be scared and we'd call out for mom or dad, and as soon as they walked in the room, we felt fine. We weren't scared anymore
yeah.
because there was somebody else there. That's what we need to do. The fellowship absolutely is important. It's vital. That goes without saying. But the church is not a place for fellowship. It's a place for instruction. Take your orders and then go out and do what you're supposed to do is what they want you to do. Blind obedience. And that's not for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jennifer, outstanding phone call. I'm glad you brought this up.
Jennifer.
Yeah, because sometimes, yeah, you know, I've read all Martin's books, talked to him a lot. He's wrote the books, so he knows them. Sometimes we maybe forget that some issues hadn't been clarified all the way, I suppose.
Great.
Hey, thanks.
Well, thank
Appreciate it.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, keep listening.
We
appreciate
will.
It. Take care.
Have a good one.
Melissa in Texas, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
I would like to thank you, Frank, and you, Martin, for doing your very best to overcome testosterone poisoning. And that
okay.
is to walk godly in Christ Jesus and to seek the truth
mm-hmm.
and not try to overpower people, which is that testosterone poisoning, which leads me to the King James Version, which I love. But I do own concordances. I do look at original texts and
good for you.
Do my very best to understand. So I'm going to go back to something that we talked about earlier in the show about what Paul said. And I don't know if, Martin, you have looked at this or not, but in 1 Timothy 2:12, but I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over men, but to be in silence. Oh, my God, what a mistranslation that is. What he was trying to do was correct the Gnostic doctrine that had sneaked into the church in Ephesus and other places where they were teaching that Eve came first and without any partner she gave birth to Adam and woman is the authority. And that is old wives' tales. That is garbage. And for people to hate the Apostle Paul because of that, most particularly women who have turned against the Apostle Paul because of that mistranslation, it has been going on through the centuries, and there are many books out there that have addressed this. One is I Suffer Not a Woman by Richard Kroeger and Catherine Clark Kroeger, Kroeger, published in 1992, and it goes into teaching the truth about what was Paul saying. He was saying, women, you've not been allowed to stand up and have a voice in this thing, but God has called you to come into the fellowship, learn, understand, learn how to read, know the scriptures, but don't sit in the back of the room yapping like little kids when you're supposed to be here learning and being part of this wonderful body of Christ, putting on the mind of Christ. And so, like, I'm reaching out to Renee right now. I would just say I'm going to call and leave my number with the board op so I can touch base with Renee if she'd like to call and get my number, or I can call her if she leaves her number, because this whole thing, the church has alienated women because they wanted to keep their thumb on top of our head for this entire period of time.
I think that's fantastic. You know, I've never heard that before.
Well,
that's fantastic. I mean, obviously, I didn't believe it. I've always been, you know, the first one to jump up and say that's BS. I think
we had some... Let me tell you what the exact translation, or, well, what would be close.
Okay.
I suffer not a woman to teach or preach that man came, or that woman came first. Do not teach that woman came first and then man. But Adam was first formed. This is verse 13. But Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived or seduced was in the transgression. Adam was transgressing there. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. The other lie was that if you have children, you are passing your demonic element on through perpetuity. So don't have children because you'll never stop. Every time you give life, you're putting more life out there into this world. So don't have children is what they were teaching. And it's just garbage. And I don't know. I'm pretty worked up. Can you tell?
Yeah, but, you know, bravo. You should be.
And
outstanding.
And as for Rodney,
yeah.
The whole thing about not being able to do what Jesus taught, it is a continuing effort where we put off the old nature and put on the new nature, which is the mind of Christ. You can't know the mind of Christ unless you study not just the Gospels, but the New Testament. And I can't wait to see the Apostle Paul face to face. I'm going to throw my arms around his neck and hug his neck. I'm sure I'll have to stand in line. But what a wonderful man. And people who bash the Apostle Paul don't know their butt from a hole in the ground.
Amen.
Yeah.
I appreciate this, sir.
So Melissa, thank you so much for the call.
I'm reaching for Renee because I love listening to her, but sometimes she gets so upset, and I understand why. So
sure.
Maybe she and I can fellowship on
yeah,
the phone.
Absolutely.
All right.
And both of you need to check out these books. I think you'll dig
them. Oh, the other thing. I've never done this before, Frank.
Okay.
I would put out a website that has helped many people. It's www.truthortradition.com.
Okay.
It is an ongoing... why do you believe what you believe? Who taught it to you? And what does the word really say?
Okay.
And it helps a lot of people. There's a book
Wonderful.
On there that you can buy in the hard copy, or you can read it online. It's
okay.
called Don't Blame God.
Okay.
That's for you, Frank. Don't blame God.
I don't blame God.
Sometimes you give him credit for stuff that he didn't do.
No. We don't have time for me to prove you wrong, Melissa, so I have to call back. Thanks for the call. Folks, we'll be right back with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us. Good morning, my friends, and welcome back to the dwindling moments here. Final hour, final segment of our Friday, February 18th, 2005 edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. Glad to have you aboard with us. I'm your host, of course, Frank Whalen. Let's bring back my guest, Martin Zender, a prolific writer, just an absolute genius, and certainly one of the, I don't know what the word is, really. I got so much respect for this guy. He has probably straightened me out on my spiritual walk more times than he will ever realize. Martin Zender, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thanks, Frank.
You know, I want to respond. Melissa said that I blame God for things. I have no idea what she's talking about.
Yeah, what
about.
Was that about?
I don't know, because, again, she's going to say it at the end of the thing. So I have no idea. But I will say this. First of all, two things. Number one, all things are of God, good and bad.
Hey, I have that written down
yep.
in the break.
Yep.
I wrote that down in the break.
Good. Now, in your book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, isn't there a scripture that says, God says, I send sin, or something like that?
That's not a quote, but God is responsible. He has caused people to sin.
Yeah, that's
what
it is.
People would be blown away by this, and here we are getting to this right at the end of the show.
I know.
But let me give people a scripture before they, put a hammer through their computer here. Psalm 105:25. God caused the Egyptians to hate his people. He caused them to hate his people.
Yep.
Even the prophet Isaiah said, Isaiah 63:17, why, O Lord, hast thou caused us to stray from your paths? Romans chapter 11, God gives to Israel a spirit of stupor. Now, they've committed a lot of sins while they've been under that spirit of stupor. And God ultimately has to be responsible for it. I didn't like the word blame there. Don't blame God. I didn't like the word blame because we see a bad thing happening, like, for instance, Judas betrays Christ. Well, don't blame God for that. It was Judas. But God himself was responsible for it. He's God.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a big sign on his desk that says the buck stops here. It was God's purpose that Jesus Christ be crucified. Everybody will agree with me there, right?
Yeah.
But when you start getting into the specifics, people start to squirm.
Yeah.
So, he had to have the Romans. Well, they had to know how to crucify. He had to be betrayed.
Right.
And Jesus himself, I was just reading this the other day, Jesus handpicked his disciples. Are you telling me he handpicked Judas and was taken by surprise when he turned out to be a rotten character? He knew his heart from the beginning, Scripture says. He picked him to betray him.
That's right.
It had to happen.
Exactly. So, they're facilitators of God's will. It could have been an unemployed Canadian hockey team.
It could have been.
Yeah, but instead it wasn't.
Instead it was Judas, and so God handpicks him to do this very thing. Now, it doesn't mean he enjoys it.
That's right.
It doesn't mean he's reveling in it, but it's a necessary evil. That's where this phrase came
mm-hmm.
from. God himself does these things, but you have to look, as I told the caller that was talking about the 64 evil things God's going to do,
mm-hmm.
you got to look through that and see what is going to result from this betrayal and
yes.
this crucifixion. The salvation of the world. And so only in light of that can we look back at the evil incident and say that was of God. You see, but people who are short, very, very short-sighted, they can't
yeah.
say that while it's happening. You couldn't be standing at their cross saying, this is of God. Well, you could if you had a really heavy dose of the Spirit. But I think if we had been standing there, oh, my God, this is a disaster. He was the Messiah. Now he's on a cross. It took real spiritual insight to be able to say, when you're standing at Calvary on that day, this is of God. Because of the results. Oh, my God.
I know.
3 hours.
I know.
How does this happen?
You have to come back more often. I'm
okay.
Serious, okay?
All right.
Now, here's the thing, folks. Martinsender.com is the website. I strongly encourage you to go there, read some of this stuff, pick up the books, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Martin Zender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, Flawed by Design, and also the one that I really think Melissa would enjoy, the one I think Renee would enjoy and so many others would, which is your new book, which will be coming out, and we'll make sure to give people plenty of insight, information about when it's due. But, folks, this one, I think Martin Zender is very female-friendly. He knows all about what their role is. The truth about creation, the truth about relationships and how sex and spirituality do go hand in hand. Martin Zender, you're a blessing to me and to the world. God bless you. Have a great weekend, folks.